Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Levler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
So my guest this morning is Chairman Jesse Garcia. He's from the Suffolk GOP. Good morning. Thank you. I know it's a very busy time of year. A lot going on, so I really appreciate you kind of carving out some time and talking with us this morning.
It's my pleasure to be here to share with you a few thoughts about the election. That's just a few days away now, so it's going to be good.
Sure. And listen, it's been a ride. You know, I'm seeing people very much engaged, which I love. I want people to get out and vote. You know, the more people that get out and express, you know, their leanings or whatever, the better representation I think you end up getting. But let me start out with, I guess, something very basic that I just never thought to ask you before. Sure. So you are the chairman of the GOP. What does that mean? I mean, obviously, I see you doing everything. You're everywhere and whatever else, but, you know, in your own words.
Well, number one, I'm one person of a great team that I have. I have a great team of people that work at headquarters, great town leaders, great candidates, and the best committee members that there are anywhere in the state. But basically, I guess what you could call it, you know, we're in the middle of football season. You know, I'm a general manager slash head coach.
Right.
You know, general manager, you put a team together, the business side of the operation and such. And then during the season, and we're in the season right now,
the election season. Yeah.
I take on the role as head coach to monitor and lead campaigns, and those campaigns will be either cooperatively with our town organizations or with our direct candidates. Like in this case, we have an outstanding slate of 18 legislative Republican candidates that are been knocking on tens of thousands of doors,
sure,
making tens of thousands of phone calls, and of course the big race that's in Suffolk County and really on Long Island.
Sure.
That's capturing the county executives. Mm-hmm. Position for the first time in 20 years.
Right.
And that's with, Ed Romaine, who formerly, or currently still is, but as of the 31st, is the Brookhaven Town Supervisor. And, he left a very, very safe seat. He could have run for another four-year term in Brookhaven, overwhelmingly be reelected by like 65, 70% of the vote. The people in Brookhaven love him. But what he did is he saw Suffolk County in need of desperate leadership.
Sure.
And with many challenges coming before it, and he made the selfless act to step up on behalf of the people of Suffolk County.
Sure. And listen, I've had a bunch of conversations with him and really gets it. That's one thing about somebody that's been around inside of government. When you're outside of government, you have a view you want the world to work like. And then there's how things actually get done. And being someone that works across the aisle, a consensus builder that knows how to get things done, has a great understanding of the issues and knows exactly who to call to get the next step to happen in the whole nine. I mean, really, I think a tremendous candidate.
Absolutely. And you said it. Ed Romaine's not just been the Brookhaven Town Supervisor for the last 12 years. He knows county government, having served in county government. But outside of that, he was a high school history teacher, social studies teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He was also an adjunct professor. So he knows the importance of shaping the young minds of the next generation of leaders.
Sure.
To give them a leg up. So he brings that whole type of widespread of experience,
right,
as an educator, as a professor, in the private sector, and of course some government. That matrix that he has is what gives him the leg up. Experience counts.
Sure.
And when we're dealing with the world we're dealing with, inflation, security issues, every challenge that's coming down, Ed Romaine has faced as the Brookhaven Town Brookhaven Town Supervisor. And not only has he met those challenges, he has successfully placed pro-taxpayer, pro-people solutions in place.
Absolutely. And just bringing up the education point one more time, it's something that's been very easy in the conversations that I've had with him, that he understands the world is changing. It's rapidly changing.
Yes.
And things change in terms of how you respond to that. And people need to know what's expected of them. And so there's that element of training that goes into this job. To be a county executive, you've got to be a leader. And to be a leader, you've got to tell people, this is what you can expect, and here's how you react in this situation. And whatever, I can remember a few times seeing him on TV during snowstorms, and just, you know, this is a guy that has the whole plan laid out, says, everybody, stay home, stay safe, we've got the roads covered, everything will be fine, and you know it's true.
He has the experience and confidence and trust of the voters and the people of Brookhaven Town and Suffolk County, that they know that when Ed Romaine's on the job and he's working cooperatively with a Republican majority in the legislature or any other town or any other type of agency, that it's important to make sure that, especially in times of crisis, that the people feel safe.
Yeah.
And they know there's a plan to get us through after the crisis comes through to us.
Right.
You know, the best part of that is he campaigned and was elected during Superstorm Sandy. He was the only Republican that really got elected that year in 2012. And while other people cut bait and abandoned the people of Suffolk County, like his opponent Dave Colon, when he abandoned and left the LIPA board after increasing electric rates to 40% higher than the national average, Ed Romaine stood here and he rebuilt the South Shore of Long Island, Brookhaven Town specifically, after Sandy Storm. And what he saw was these zombie homes that big banks were just leaving the fallow. They were overgrown.
Yes.
They were being used by gangs and drug dealers. What he did, he initiated a policy to go after big banks, and then the town of Brookhaven started, you know, tearing down those houses. And what happened was it made the communities safer.
Yep.
It removed an eyesore.
Mm-hmm.
And it increased the property values
yeah.
of homeowners around the area.
And that was a big, you know, I mean, that was a big component of all of this. You know, I mean, there's the tragedy of what happened with Sandy. But then on top of that, there was those, you know, at first, those intangible costs. Mm-hmm. And to have someone with the leadership and the perception to come in and say, hey, I know how to solve this problem. And I know the people to work with to solve this problem. That's a great thing.
Exactly. And I think that's what the benefit. And I think that's what we're feeling and what we're seeing as we have thousands of volunteers and committee members for about 3-4 months knocking on doors, making phone calls. There's a lot of energy out there. There's a lot of energy with Ed Romaine. There's a lot of energy out there for the Republican majority in the legislature to not just maintain it, but actually grow it. And there's a lot of energy for the Republican brand.
Yeah.
Because you're right. You need someone that's experienced, someone that has the wherewithal to do things, because people will trust and need someone, a leader, that will adapt to crises, but stay grounded to their Republican principles, to their principles of keeping us safe, keeping us affordable, and taking on the bad guys and making sure that our quality of life is maintained and assured.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what Ed Romaine does.
Yeah, that's the beauty here is looking at the history. So you can just go back in time. The best predictor of the future is the past, right?
Exactly.
And you can see the challenges that he's faced, has met, and excelled in. I think it's a great opportunity for the people of Suffolk County, really, to have a different type of leadership, knows how to get things done, that knows how to work with people. I think, you know, speaking on behalf of the employees from the AME side, there's an excitement to have somebody that knows the issues, that understands, you know, we could have a conversation and say, hey, listen, it takes 15 people to get this job done, and we have 9, and he knows how to fix that, and he knows how to fix that in a way that doesn't then become a burden down the line.
Absolutely, and I think he spoke about this on the campaign show. I know it has. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to do accountability budgeting, zero-based budgeting, which he brought to Brookhaven, and now Brookhaven, which was in dire financial conditions, now is robust with multi-million-dollar surpluses. Its taxes are affordable. Services have actually been increasing. But the way he did it is by doing a real budget. You know, we've been seeing this here. You know this in your capacity as president of AME, that there are those executives that put positions in a budget for the purposes of creating surplus and never filling them.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens? That means services aren't being done. It's a fake budget. Mm-hmm. It's not real. And then tragedy comes from that or lack of service.
Sure.
Perfect example of that, CPS.
Yep.
We need to properly put, we've discussed this individually off air.
Yeah.
We've discussed it with the legislature. We discussed it with our executive leaders that we need to fully fund and give CPS the tools to make sure that a Volvo tragedy never happens again.
Exactly.
Right? It wasn't the employees there. They need to be given the resources for that.
Absolutely.
Same thing in the health department. Let's give the health department the tools it needs to get permits out.
Sure.
So that we can grow the tax base through economic growth. And on the police side and the law enforcement side, you know, we have 51 detectives that are funded and not filled.
Unfilled.
Yep. Ed wants to beef up the detective squad because those detectives will work with civilian employees to make sure we investigate crimes and get the perpetrators faster.
Absolutely. Listen, the police department, just as a general statistic, they're kind of right now at the staffing levels that they were in 1960, but the population is more than double.
Absolutely.
There's a real call, you know, and a real understanding, I think, on the part of candidate Romain to understand that, you know, you don't get more done with less. You get less done with less.
Exactly.
And solving these problems, again, in a responsible way, I think that's going to go a long way for the taxpayers. They're going to see all of a sudden their government working for them, and that's a great thing.
And I agree with you. And here's the thing. I mean, as a political leader, you know, what we do is make sure that we put forward real good candidates that have the experience and the wherewithal to deliver on behalf of the taxpayers and the people in which serve in their government. The best thing about this, though, is that, you know, the taxpayers shouldn't be concerned. We can provide services, we can provide personnel to those jobs and those positions that are critical without raising taxes.
Right.
And the best way to do that, listen, let me just tell you, we don't need any more political hacks.
Right.
You know, we can reduce the political patronage in the county of Suffolk that's ballooned over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. Take those monies, take some of those monies away and give it back in tax relief. Mm-hmm. But importantly, take those positions and put it to more cops, more prosecutors, more detectives, more CPS workers, more health department inspectors, more people where it's direct line for service, the people of Suffolk County directly.
Absolutely.
We don't need more political hacks. We need people who do the job.
Yeah. And listen, every year I've talked about it, you know, and again, we're getting very close to this actual budget deadline and as talks continue. But every year I mention, you know, when you look at the overtime costs, so because you don't have enough people, people have to work extra hours to get the job done, and they're burning themselves out. And it's nice to make
That's
a couple
true.
Extra bucks, but you would like to also see your family. You're trading time for money. Mm-hmm. Time is very valuable. It's something, you know, we've discussed in the past. The fact of the matter is, if you take the cost of all of these overages on overtime and put them to new employees, you're still getting the work done and you're not costing any more money. So, you know, looking at those types of solutions and doing things in that way, it doesn't pass on the expense to the taxpayer and it gets the job done better.
Absolutely. You just said another tool out there.
Yeah.
You know, instead of appropriating those monies for overtime, fully staff the departments, put them where the resources are needed, and the taxpayers will get a benefit because it's affordable to live here. It's safe to live here. And they're getting superior services, more services than they did before.
Right.
Instead of waiting a year for a health department permit to get your restaurant online, you get it in 2 months. And guess what? The tax base grows because the assessment goes up.
Yeah.
Because more businesses are coming up. Sales tax goes up because that small business, that Main Street business, is thriving 10 months earlier than it should. Than it has been in the past.
I think this represents a huge sigh of relief.
Yes.
I think it's going to be felt by the employees. I think it's going to be felt by the everyday citizens. I think, just generally speaking, there's an opportunity here to really do great things in Suffolk County. And definitely looking forward. I mean, this is why AME has endorsed Ed Romain, and we, you know, we believe in his coming success, and we know in the next 4 years he's going to be able to do great things for Suffolk County.
I agree with you. If you want an affordable and safer Suffolk County, Ed Romain's your vote.
Yeah. Yeah. So, listen, I want to talk about a few of the other candidates, you know, and so I want to go through just a list of candidates that AME endorsed. Kevin McCaffrey's presiding officer, labor guy, great conversations with him, always available, listens to the issues, understands right away. Great. Jim Mazzarella, again, another labor guy. Yes. Nick Caracappa, labor guy. Again, always available, always working. You know, so we got Chad Lennon, Anthony Piccirillo.
Chad Lennon is a Purple Star recipient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a Marine, still active in the reservist. He led 50 missions, active firefight missions in Afghanistan and the Middle East. And in fact, he took down one of the biggest opioid distribution operations in the Middle East, stopped those opiates from getting into our streets in Suffolk County. He's going to do outstanding. Anthony Piccirillo is probably one of the smartest, hardworking. He is a blue-collar guy.
Yeah.
He is a W-2 guy that worked his way up through the system, worked his way through the community, his neighborhood, stayed involved, and was rewarded by really becoming an outstanding member of the legislature.
Sure. And, like, jumped in with both feet, really learned everything, got to learn, you know, not just the relationships, but the way the mechanics of government work, everything. So really just
I always say he knows Robert's rules better than anybody.
Yeah, yes, he does. Yes.
And Kevin McCaffrey, a steady hand as presiding officer.
Yeah.
It was seamless. He won his re-election for presiding officer back in January, 18-0.
Yep.
So that's a testament to his leadership.
No. He's really done an outstanding job there, and it's a lot. You know, I mean, that's a job. You know, I look at these legislative jobs as not just representing the district, but all the people of Suffolk County, because you have to consider issues that have impacts outside of your district. When you sit at general meetings, you have to have these conversations. And as a presiding officer, to have to, you know, kind of, let's say, shepherd the other 17 legislators and get through all the different issues. And, you know, there's things can get contentious at times. So being, you know, someone who can, you know, mediate these difficulties, you know, I think he's done an outstanding job. Mm. So for sure. We have Trish Bergen.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Steve Flotterin. Again, really a numbers guy.
Yes.
Very great. I mean, great comments on the budget so far. And I'm sure, you know, we're going to hear a lot more from there.
He's really a true fiscal conservative.
Yeah. And then we have Leslie Kennedy, Manny Esteban, who has just been running everywhere,
everywhere.
You know.
He's about diversity. He's about small business.
Yeah.
He's about really raising the voices of those that have been silent or silenced.
Yeah.
He's doing an outstanding job.
Yeah,
Thank you.
And then we also have Stephanie Bontempi, which, again, just another person that's just out there and around and available. Mm-hmm. And so it's been great. You know, we're thrilled to endorse these candidates. But, you know, I just want to give you an opportunity to talk about anything. You know, like I appreciate you having the time and spending with us. But
it's my pleasure to be here. And, you know, we talked about the county executives, and we're going to be electing 6 new town supervisors. I know you, the AME, has gotten into the issue of endorsing down at the town level, too. But the best thing about the legislature is that, you know, Kevin McCaffrey is the first Republican presiding officer in 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason there's a lot of energy out there for the Republican Party is because the electorate in Suffolk County is responding to the efforts and the agenda of the Republican majority here in Suffolk County. Some of the issues that we've picked up. Number one, our budget, maintained services, maintained its level of services and a number of personnel, added more prosecutors, more cops, and more employees to where we needed them, but yet was a 0% tax increase.
Right.
And that was because of the Republican majority in the legislature. We've taken taxpayer money. The Democrats in years past wanted to take your taxpayer money and direct your taxpayer money to campaigns. They wanted to have your tax money pay for robocalls and these automated text messages and mail. We took the money away. You know what? The private side takes care of campaigns, not the public side.
Mm-hmm.
We directed that to ShotSpotter. And what did that do? That gave Ray Tierney, our first Republican district attorney.
Yeah.
And I keep saying this.
Yeah.
Everyone felt a little bit safer come January of 22 when Ray Tierney took that oath of office because of what he's done and what he brings as
a professional
30-year prosecutor on the federal level and the state level.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave him those tools to keep our community safe. We added more prosecutors so we can go against these cashless bail laws.
Mm-hmm.
We gave them tools like discovery expediters to deal with cashless bails.
Mm-hmm.
And this what happens is that using his tools and using the law to his benefit,
mm-hmm.
Ray Tierney is, it may take him a little bit longer to get the criminal because he has him in his sights, but to keep him in jail without bail, that's what these tools give him.
Right.
So that's been successful. And then, of course, as we go forward in, you know, preserving a lot of our lands, $155 million in open space and protecting our groundwater, it goes on and on, infrastructure. You know, this legislature has truly made a difference in the lives of people, making it affordable, making it safer, and enhancing our quality of life.
And you can feel it in the streets.
Absolutely.
That's excellent.
We're getting
out
of doors. We're getting it on the phones. You know, the text messages we're getting back, the emails we're getting back. It really is looking good for us.
That's excellent. And listen, you know, again, I just want to, as a wrap up, you know, I really appreciate you spending the time coming out and talking with us. I echo your sentiments on all the things that you've said, and especially, you know, really looking forward to, you know, the change in county leadership. I think, again, it's just another thing you're going to feel on the streets, and you're going to see it. It's going to be in your pocket. So.
Terrific. I appreciate
Jesse, again, my guest this morning, Jesse Garcia, Suffolk GOP chairman, and thank you so much for joining us. Again, busy time, carving out some time to be with us. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Just remember, early voting started on October 28th, and that's 10 days. And on November 7th, come out and vote for the Republican-Conservative team. Ed Romaine and the Republican-Conservative team that will keep you safer and affordable here in Suffolk.
Thanks again, Jesse.
And now part two of today's edition of Suffolk Matters.
My guest this morning is Chairman Rich Schaefer. He's the chairman of the Suffolk County Democratic Committee. Rich, thanks for joining us this morning.
No, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and listen, you know, I mean, we're moments away from Election Day and finding out, you know, all the hard work that went into everything. But first and foremost, I guess it's just interesting to me, and I think it might be interesting to people, to talk a little bit about, you know, I introduced you in your role, and I know you have numerous roles.
Right.
But specifically, you know, what does it mean to be a party chair? What is, you know, what does that look
like? Yeah, so being a party chair these days is a lot different than it was being a party chair when I was first elected in September of 2000. In fact, because of the way politics has gone over the past 20 years, has been a big shift in what I've had to do. So normally, if you want to just say, what's the definition of a party chair?
Right.
Party chair is somebody who is responsible for organizing the party. And in this case, it's in Suffolk County. We have 10 towns. So we have 10 town committees that are made up of committee people that are elected by all of the Democratic registered voters in those communities.
Right.
And so then there are 10 town leaders, and those town leaders work with me as the chair and what we call the executive committee to carry out all the functions of the party. So the party is responsible for coming up with the candidates. So we conduct a screening process by which we screen candidates who are interested in running for the various offices for town, county, state, and federal offices. They also are responsible for then carrying what are called the designating petitions in order to get those candidates on the ballot. These days, the calendar has been moved up, and we now do designating petitions in February and March, a lot colder, in order to have a June primary. And then we're responsible for raising the money, putting the campaigns together. And we in Suffolk County do something called a coordinated campaign where we operate out of Suffolk County Democratic headquarters, and we have personnel who work closely with each of the individual campaigns, this year being a local year, which is, in my estimation, more important than a federal or state year because it goes directly to the quality of life, and particularly for your members, those people who live in Suffolk County, who work for Suffolk County, they need to be more concerned, more dialed in to who's going to be their county legislator or their town supervisor, because that's the positions that have the biggest impact, the biggest daily impact on them. So those are the things that a county party chair. The added component now is being a therapist
of course,
for all of the candidates because of social media coming into play, people having to react to things 24/7, candidates who are having to knock down Facebook posts that aren't true, and all of it has become really more engaging than it used to be because of the technology and also because of the pure partisanship. It used to be where you'd be able to talk to the other side, talk to the various parties, conservatives, independents, working families, and you'd be able to have rational, intelligent, productive conversations. Now you go through a prism of, well, if you're on this side, then you have to be a devil and a demon.
Right.
And that's the sad part because in local government, and you know this as being the president of the largest municipal union in the county, you got to be able to have conversations with people who have different opinions and views. And so I've become kind of more of a, you know, I guess an oddity in terms of how I would like to have local government run and local politics run.
Right. Yeah, no, I get that. And listen, you know, you speak about these, the attack ads and the negative, you know, comments that you see out in the world, and they can happen at a moment's notice. Somebody sitting at home in the comfort of their, you know, house, they get this random idea and they throw it out on the internet, and next thing you know, it starts taking off.
Right? Is it called X now instead of Twitter? It's on X, and everybody's reacting to it, and all of a sudden you could be going one way on your particular day, and your day is taken up from some nonsense. So it's tough. And, you know, as a party chair and now as my other role as town supervisor, I spent a lot of time going to talk to young people, college age, high school age, about their responsibilities in trying to figure out what's going on locally since they're the next generation of leaders. And they have to get away from relying on the social media nonsense and the made-up things and
right.
figure out how to come up with a game plan and agenda that's going to keep their community safe and quality of life right. safe.
It's a question of what civic engagement looks like, you know,
correct.
Going forward, you know,
we
what's the responsible thing?
Yeah. In one way.
Yes.
And now civics is a completely different way.
Absolutely. You know, and I definitely have gotten feedback out in the world from folks, and you'll see it on, you know, the newsreels and whatever else. And they say, well, you know, I don't want to hear why you don't like the other candidate. Of course, you guys are running for the same position. Why would you say the other person's great? But I want to know what you're going to do. What are you dealing with on an issue? And, you know, and that's why, you know, Amy, we conduct a thorough screening process. We have, you know, we have written responses. We bring candidates in. We interview them. We ask them questions. We let them present their side of things. We ask them questions. We go through their voting history, if it's an incumbent, to see what they, you know, if their words are matching their
yeah, where
deeds.
They came down
and,
on issues.
Yeah, right.
And I think, and I got to say, commend you for what you do. I've been, you know, you have us come in, myself and Jesse Garcia, the Republican county chair.
Yeah.
And he and I enjoy that because it kind of sets the table for what your members are interested in. You've got all the various areas, your area leaders, your unit
right.
leaders
mm-hmm.
That come in. And you have a pretty extensive vetting process, which I think serves your members very well.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we feel a sense of responsibility. You know, we're public servants, right? So our job is to take care of the needs of the public at large. You know, we represent the folks that are doing that day to day. And we know we're going to make our endorsements public. We know that we're going to go out and tell people these are the people we believe in, because we have an opportunity to have conversations with folks running for office that maybe the man on the street doesn't necessarily always get. So to be able to share this stuff with other people, we're always sharing it from the perspective of this is what's going to have the most impact on your work life, mm-hmm. right? Whether you're a public employee, you're in the private sector, whether you're union, non-union, doesn't matter. Most people are working, right?
Right.
Some people make a ton of money off of investment gains, and that's all they do with their life, and that's fine. But by and large, the work life encompasses a lot of your time. From, say, age 18 to, you know, going well up into the 60s sometimes.
And you represent the middle class.
Right. Yeah. So that's why it was important for us, you know, to make sure to sit down and screen and understand the facts. And, you know, AME is proud to, and I'll just go through some names. We were proud to endorse Catherine Kent, Ann Welker, Steve Englebright, Ryan McGarry, Sam Gonzalez, Jason Richburg, Tom Donnelly. These are all excellent people, some coming in new, some with experience and a track record that you can rely on. These are important folks. But, you know, I wanted to get your take on your candidates and not just who AME endorsed, but, mm-hmm. but you know, who the party put forward and how things are going.
Well, I think we did a really good job this year and in keeping to our responsibility to give the voters a choice. I think there are clear choices in the elections that we have going on at both the county level and the town level in particular. And I'll just say, I think the top of our ticket, Dave Colon, has acquitted himself very well. I think he's made a presentation on what his positives are, what he's going to bring to the position of being a former prosecutor and a business person. And I think he's demonstrated that he knows how to run large organizations. So I think in this case, between him and Ed Romaine, and I've known Ed a very long time, the voters have a choice.
And, they do.
And that's good, because that's healthy for the system. It's healthy for democracy. When we see what's going on in Washington and all of the questions being raised as to whether our democracy is going to survive or not, I tell people to just take a look at how the local elections are running.
Right.
And they're running very well. And I think us as a party have done well in having Dave at the top of the ticket. The names that you've mentioned here are some of our top candidates, both whether they're already legislators in terms of Jason Richburg, who I think has really done a great job in following in Dwayne Gregory's footsteps.
Sure.
And Jason's now the minority leader. Sam Gonzalez, who's been on the legislature, he's representing the Brentwood, Bayshore, Central Islip communities.
Labor guy, gets the issues.
Labors, he's a former yep. labor guy. Yeah, Tom Donnelly, the same thing. I worked with Tom on the town board, and he represents a good chunk of Babylon, and his work as a FDNY member, Rescue One, as well as a local volunteer. And I think you would say and agree with me that anytime an issue comes up that's affecting labor, whether it's the contract itself, and more importantly, he's very concerned about work conditions.
Sure.
And has worked with you, and I know you're...
He's gone very much on the record about stuff. I think Newsday recently, like a week or so ago, they pushed out an article about his position on things.
Right.
And he was talking very much about the issues that him and I have been talking about for years. Yep. And you know, making that kind of his platform, he gets it.
Yeah, and he gets it, and he understands that the people that he's representing, are a lot of these people work for the county,
yes,
in various capacities. Mm-hmm. And some of the newbies... I was with Catherine Kent last night. She mm-hmm. is a tremendous mm-hmm. candidate. I really hope that she gets elected. It's a tough district for us. Al Krupski is running with her. Al's running for town supervisor. Right. He's been a great county legislator yeah. and a former town official in the town of Southold. And I think Catherine's going to be able to follow in his footsteps. And I'm really hoping that's the one I'm really looking right. forward to on election night, because a lot of people are giving the Republican candidate the advantage because of the enrollment. But I think Catherine has worked really hard, harder than her opponent, and I think that will serve her well. And Ann Welker is another proven voice. She's been a Southampton Town trustee. She was at the same event last night on the East End, and I would really like to see Catherine and Ann, as two strong women who have served in various capacities, take those two districts. Ann will follow in Bridget Fleming's footsteps,
right.
and Bridget's been mm-hmm. a good friend to labor and to AME in particular. Steve Englebright's no stranger to public office. I served with Steve on the county legislature mm-hmm. before he went to the New York State Assembly, and we joked the other night because he had a fundraiser, and a bunch of people who had served with him in various capacities were there, and I mean, you can't underestimate the amount of knowledge that he has on the environment.
Very smart.
And very smart, yeah. just because of his work as a professor at SUNY Stony Brook. But more importantly, we have to deal with the water issues, sewer issues, and he'll be a leader in that next year. And all of his contacts in the state legislature will serve us very well. I believe we'll be able to put together a good program that voters can support next November. And of course, the final, Ryan McGarry, who has been my number one candidate this cycle. He's not only done everything we've asked him to do in terms of knocking on doors, going to community events, working hard,
right.
but is such a clear choice between accidental legislator, his opponent, who beat Rob Calarco because of the atmosphere, nothing else, because of anything else. And Ryan will bring the same enthusiasm that he's brought for labor, his experience working for County Executive Ballone, and the volunteerism that he does in the North Patchogue, Medford area.
Very active, very active. I mean, this is somebody with public service in their blood, to the point that they went to educate themselves at very, very great schools.
Well, and I can tell you, the other night we had an event for him, and that day included being at a fire at 1 a.m.
Right.
to 3 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
working, campaigning, and mm-hmm. doing his regular job, family commitments, and then being at a fundraiser for him in Patchogue,
right.
where we had a number of local dignitaries there who are supporting his effort. And it's interesting about Ryan. He obviously enjoys the Democratic Party support,
mm-hmm.
But he's got a lot of Republicans and conservatives
right.
who are in that area who have come up to me and said, no, we want to be with Ryan because we know he's going to be a high-quality legislator.
Yeah, he is. He's very smart, very quick on the issues to understand what's going on, well-reasoned, great temperament. I think he's going to serve the district well.
Yes.
In the past, it always looked to me as if Rob Calarco would finish out as presiding officer,
mm-hmm.
and Ryan would just kind of step in behind him.
And I think Ryan,
and that's different.
Ryan's got the potential to be a presiding officer.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I can see that in his future.
Yes.
We just got to get him there on election day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, in closing, is there anything that you really want to get out there message-wise in terms of, letting the voters know? I mean,
I think here's the most important message. In the even years, 750,000 mm-hmm. people vote.
Right.
In presidential or gubernatorial years. That drops to 250,000 votes.
Right.
If you really want to have your voice heard in what's going on in your local community, show up, and bring someone with you, it's like you're bringing three or four people with you.
Right.
And that's the massive impact you can have on local elections. We still don't understand why it disappears and evaporates in terms of turnout. But if you're out and want to support a candidate and want to make a difference and send a message about what's going on in your community, vote in the off-year elections.
Yes.
Vote in the odd-year elections. Vote this year in 2023. You can have a bigger impact than you would have in a presidential or gubernatorial.
Absolutely. You know, all the local issues. You know, they say all government's local, but local government is you know, the immediate.
Right.
Right? Where things that happen on the federal level sometimes years and years and years trickle back in effect.
Right. And they're so crazy at this point that it's right. better to just stay local.
Right. Again, my guest, Rich Schaefer, Suffolk County Democratic Committee Chairman. Thank you for joining us, spending some time with us this morning. I know things are very busy. Everybody, remember, get out there and vote.
And Dan, let me just give a plug to your members, because I ran into a bunch of them at one of the diners the other day.
Right.
Your executive
yes.
board. I don't know if they were doing a coup or they were. No, They were engaged, and they were talking about the final couple of weeks of election. Your
Absolutely.
Members have been really critical to keeping this process alive and democracy alive.
Yeah, and listen, I am fortunate to have a team that gets it. And while they're sitting at lunch, that's all they're talking about. How
yeah.
do we get this done? What can we do
tell.
Better? And yes, yeah, so.
I could tell.
So,
but thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thank you, Richie. And to our listeners, we'll speak to you next time.